for this prayer vigil. It seems like everybody that comes down here is on one accord. They see what we saw, they know what we know, and they are praying because we have five issues. Now, the first one is we believe in the power of prayer. Now, last year, let me just explain a little bit. Last year, after the beating, Dick Gregory, Najee Ali, and others said, let's have a 40-day prayer vigil or until the police officers were indicted. As it happened, they were indicted after the third day. So everyone said, well, the prayer vigil is over. But the majority of the people said, no, let's go the whole 40 days. So we did 40 days. But we wanted to make sure that everybody would pray with us. And we had people coming from all over, all walks of life, all races, all religion. How do you get everybody on one accord? Dick Gregory has helped me in my prayer life. Now, he's not a minister. He's a comedian activist, and he's helped me in my prayer life. One of the things that Dick Gregory said is that let's just pray that the truth come out. That was such a great idea, because even as we prayed about Donovan Jackson in the video, because the police officers were innocent until proven guilty. I have to stand by that. We saw the video, and we could believe that they were guilty, but we had to make sure when the trial started. So for those who disagreed with that, we just was going to pray that the truth come out. And we prayed for that as it related to so many other areas. The war in Iraq, we wanted the truth come out. And boy, has the truth come out in that area. We prayed for different ones as it related to personal involvement. We had people here who had husbands, family members in the criminal justice system, and God had favor with them. So after we prayed that the truth come out, so we prayed that there would be peace after the verdict. And there was peace after the verdict. We prayed that they would not move it to Torrance. They did move it to Torrance, but we went down to Torrance and we prayed in front of Torrance Courthouse. And they did send it back to the airport court. And that was a good thing, because for us who live in Inglewood, we could make it to court. And it didn't cost us a lot of time, money, and expense to go there, although parking was $10. And so, yes, it was. And so, but we went out there every day and we parked and we paid. That's okay, because the struggle costs. The movement is more than just lip service. You've got to put your money where your mouth is. And so, after that happened, Dick Gregory and the Ministerial Alliance on July the 29th of this year said, you know what, we need another prayer vigil. And so another 40-day prayer vigil. And since they said that, then they looked at me and said, Molly Bell, you know, you helped conduct it. So I've been out here. And since I've been out here, I truly am a person who believes in prayer. I honestly believe that God can change everything. If I didn't believe it, because they said Geronimo G. Jagger-Pratt would never get out. They would never admit that they had a political prisoner. He's out. They said that Nelson Mandela would never walk the streets of Soweto. He has. Not only did that happen, but apartheid has ended in its system of working, although, you know, there's still remnants, like there's still remnants of slavery now. But it did end, and he went from a prisoner to the presidency. I mean, come on now. You've got to believe in the power of an awesome God. So since I truly believe that, I'm here praying. And so everybody here, we agreed on a couple of things. One, the power of prayer, that there is power in prayer. All the people coming together asking God for the same thing. I think it was Norman Vincent Peale who talked about the power of positive thinking. And there are those who metaphysical people who believed in conscious thought, and everybody just think the same thing and it can happen. Meditation, transcendental meditation. I believe in the power of prayer, praying to God. And for the record, I have a relationship with God through my Jesus the Christ, okay? And so we did that. Second of all, we believe that the criminal justice system is out of order. We've proven it just in our recent history. What happened to Taisha Miller in Riverside? How can you sit in a police car on a holiday, sleep, and get blown away like that? A young girl that was cold and out of order. And we went down there to Riverside because we believed that God's going to trouble the water in Riverside. And those police officers were suspended. They were fired. And they it cost the city like $300,000 a day, every day that we were down there, because the way their courtyard, their government was made, we were in the area and business didn't operate. We just stopped, shut down everything up there. So that was good. So we know the system is out of order. But Rodney King, we saw the beating, you know, I think for Brother Holiday, who took the video for that. Donovan Jackson, we saw the beating. And we see that they're out of order. We know people that Officer Jeremy Morris had beat up prior to this. Brother Nelson Williams, he was beat up in a coma by Officer Jeremy Morris. None of that was brought up in the trial. So we know the criminal justice system is out of order. And we believe we can make a positive and a constructive change by doing quite a few things, and we have a list of them. For those of you listening, if you come on down to the prayer vigil, you'll get a copy of all this. But some of the things that we're asking, we believe that the police department and the district attorney are in bed together, and they're not going to prosecute each other the way that they should. So we're asking that there be a special counsel to help with the next trial, which is October the 22nd. We're asking that Jeremy Morris be charged way more than what he was charged with. We want child abuse. We want conspiracy. We want all the other officers charged. We want more witness. We want Mitchell Crook, the guy who did the videotaping. We want him to testify as to what he saw. He was never asked. No one else was asked. None of the family members. The father's name Kobe. Not Kobe Bryant, but his name is Kobe. But Kobe, he was never called upon to testify. They didn't do anything that they should have. Jeremy Morris's history was not brought up. We want police officers drug tested. When things like this happen, we want them to be drug tested for what they're doing. We're asking and demanding an end to this racist system. It's called institutionalized racism. And we as black people, people of color, we are always targeted. So we believe in all of these constructive changes. Now, one of the things that we're asking about, and someone said, why did you put that in? We asked that. We're saying that our fourth thing is that some of our young people are damaged and they are in need of repair. Now, for something to be damaged, it had to be in good shape at first. Somebody had to break it. Somebody had to mess with it. And we're like damaged goods. We as a people, stolen from Africa, all of our rights taken, we're redlined here, our insurance is higher, we can't bank any place, we can't go to different things. There's so much stuff that's happening against us. Martin Luther King said, we are the veterans of creative sufferings. It didn't just happen accidentally. Somebody took their time and came up with creative sufferings. But I like being a veteran. And so we are the veterans of creative suffering. So because of that, we believe that some of our young people are damaged and they're in need of repair. And we believe that through prayer, first of all, we got to love our young people. We're going to take their phone calls, even though it costs a lot. MCI has all that, you know, where collect calls. We're going to take their calls. We're going to go to court with them. For those who have done wrong, we want them to be incarcerated. However, we want them treated fairly and justly. We don't want them given 25 years to life for some crack cocaine, when in the white community you could have a ton of powder cocaine and don't get nothing but 5 years or something for being a gang member, just by being a gang. And you don't join a gang, you in a gang because that's where your mama and daddy live and that's why you a Crip or a Blood, not because you said, I think I'll move to Compton and be a Compton Crip. Your mama live in Compton, you live in Compton, you are Compton Crip. You are, if you go over there, you're a Blood, whatever it is. And it's just ironic, just for a second, in Compton, Compton High School colors were blue, Centennial's colors were red. So Centennial were Bloods, Compton were blue. Kids were dressing in the colors, even though their mama didn't know they were putting them in their correct colors. I mean, it just happened like that. But we believe that they are damaged. They are in need of repair through love, prayer, and action. Because I believe faith without works is dead. We could do a lot of lip service. One of my favorite little cartoons, it says there were five birds sitting on a fence. Three of them decided to fly away. So how many birds were left? The average person would say two were left. Well, the answer is five were left. Until they fly away, five are still sitting there. You might have a good decision. You may decide to come to the prayer vigil, but until you come, You're still sitting on the fence. Don't be like those birds, you listeners. You come on down here. So we believe that we can repair them. We believe that we can help them. We want jobs for our young people. We want the police department to use some of the money that they have to incarcerate them, to beat them up. Use some of that for preventive measures. And finally, we're praying that the troops come out. And we got all these people praying. I'm putting everything in the basket I could think of. I'm just going to bombard heaven with everything that I want. And I believe, and we believe that God can answer prayer. But I pray. And I said, Lord, end injustice. I said, Lord, give comfort to those who need comfort. And I said, Lord, feed the hungry. Then I get up and I go to court and I fight against injustice. At my church, Faith United Methodist Community Church, we pass out food to the hungry. I call up my friends who are in need. When I go home, I thank God for all the things that I was able to do. And that's putting God's words into action. And I believe that all of us can talk a good game, but we have got to be what we say we are. We've got to live the song we sing, live the song that we sing about. And the way people are feeling in the community, a lot of them have just felt like, how many beatings do we have to see? They're being convicted. African Americans and others are being convicted on videos that are stop videos, you know, just barely moving, like stick people moving, black and white videos. You can't even see them good with a hood on and barely could see them. And they're convicted on that. These police officers, sharper image, just zoomed in, everything just beautiful. And they were found not guilty. So it was a hung jury. They weren't convicted. They weren't sent to jail. So a lot of us, we see, and some of them have given up, or they say, well, if you guys go out there and fight and can make a difference, we'll get involved. But first of all, we need some praise reports. We need some winners under our belt. We need some victories that we have won, because they see the same thing. Everybody is always talking about how George Bush stole the election. Everybody says that. He's President-elect Bush. Why is he still in office? If we know he stole, why is he still in office? But there's a part of America that would just hate to say he stole it. Then that means that our Supreme Court was out of order. That's too frightening for people. That's just too frightening for them to have to deal with, that the Supreme Court is out of order. That's the law of the land. That's our final say. And that they helped for him to steal that election. No. He didn't steal it. That's what they would rather go off like that. We as African Americans say they stole that one. They stole us. They stole the land from the indigenous people. They come over. They'll take your land, called it eminent domain. They'll tear up whatever you've built. They say the railroad is coming through. I care less if you live in here. We've lived here in Inglewood. And at that time, I was living in Inglewood. And they said we're putting the freeway through. We had to move, just tore down everything. Didn't ask us. Didn't give us a chance to do anything. And it's almost like the powers that be are going to take over and do what they want. So there are those who say, I see that and I know that and I don't believe we can change that. And then there are those who say, I see that, I know that, but somebody can change that. And then there are those who says, I see that, I know that, and I'm going to change it. You see, I read the book in the Bible. In the end, we win. Good is going to win out over evil. That's the way it's going to come out. So white America is afraid of losing their comfort zone. But what white America needs to understand, that the struggle is not between black and white. It's between the haves and the have-nots. And white America are in the have-nots. Ask the ones who work for Enron. Ask the ones who did all their business in those twin towers in New York. Ask the ones who were the controllers at the airport. I remember when they got rid of air traffic controllers, all those folks lost their jobs. See, I wasn't a receptionist. Computers didn't take my job. We still clean up and sweep up stuff. You know, black people, we still have our jobs. But mechanization and automation, took all of white America's job. The have-nots and a lot of white America, they need to recognize that they are part of the have-nots. The haves is just a very elitist group who want to run this country, who wants to run America, who wants to run the world, who want to control the world. And everybody has got to come out their comfort zone. But I know they can, because when Geronimo was released, he went to court in Santa Ana, had a white judge named Judge Dickey, and Judge Dickey found by himself that Geronimo needed to go free. So some white folks that I'm crazy about, there were some white folks, all the Underground Railroads, the abolitionists, them white folks. Those were homes that my ancestors stayed in and traveled on the Underground Railroads. Those were white folks that they stayed with. There are white folks who have the power, who have the authority, and they know the truth. And these are the ones who've got to come out and speak up. I hope they don't lose their comfort zone. But if they lose their comfort zone, I cannot be responsible for that, because I don't even have a comfort zone.
We're back, and I'm Lynette Hill, and we're at Roundtable at Coley's in Inglewood, downtown area. We're with guest Mr. Ron Wakabayashi from the Justice Department, and with Mr. James DeMott, civil rights attorney and activist, and with Mr. Marcus Love, publisher and writer.
My name is Ron Wakabayashi. I'm with the Community Relations Service of the Department of Justice, which is an agency that was created by the Civil Rights Act in anticipation that the enforcement of civil rights law would have, not a smooth go, that there would be conflict and resistance. So we're essentially an agency that is charged with, peacemaking and conciliation. In our work, about 60% of our casework is involved with community controversies around the use of force by law enforcement. There's a number of other cases around the country that are prominent right now, like the Shreveport shooting, pretty egregious situation. But there are those kinds of situations where the use of force is extremely controversial. And it's sort of the nature, when you look at studies of civil disorders, 60% of civil disorders are involved with a community reaction, controversy around a police action. The other large number are sporting events. 30% are sporting events. But use of force situations are a large part of it. So our role is varied. One, in this case, it had a number of facets. From early on, we were involved with trying to help the community and the city come together on some reforms were being articulated, ranging from civilian review, the hiring process, screening process for hiring officers, the trainings that they had. Other parts of it were, with the court itself that I mentioned, to help ensure that, that community had access to the courts. And I described how in the initial juror selection process, 75 people in a room that seats, 68. So there's a limited number of people, and particularly public, who can be inside. But made the arrangement so that it would be at least one person there, at least, for the beginning part of it. And as jurors were potential jurors were excused, that more people could come in. And even on the verdict day, there was something really unusual, which like half of the seats that were not reserved were given to the court watchers, which is not a usual practice. I commend the courts for, accommodating mm-hmm. that. And it's not all transparent. There's things that go on there that mystify me, but that's the kind of thing we did. The other, which was a large part of my energy, was more working with the Stop the Violence, the Inglewood Peace and Justice Coalition, that placed an emphasis in two areas. One is working on remedies to, the problem that reflected in what happened with Donovan Jackson. But the other, is just an effort to try and ensure that, in the sort of the mission statement of the coalition, that that the community, especially its young people, doesn't become, don't become provoked into a reaction that would be a problem for them in other kind of ways, which means, they didn't want them kind of getting into further problems with law enforcement because, you know, their emotional reaction to whatever the verdict might be, particularly if there was an adverse verdict from a community standpoint.
Which was a success, you know, as we've seen. But, however, the court process is still in action October 22nd, right?
October 2nd, they start retrying it.
The retrial. And the Justice Department will be monitoring it as well, right?
Well, you know, for our role, you know, I don't think monitoring is the you know, because we're not going to just sit there and watch it. You know, we'll be around in the courtroom, but largely the efforts that we'll be involved with, you know, my particular agency, will be, you know, continuing with the Inglewood Peace and Justice Coalition to try and ensure that, yeah, that there's an avenue for people to understand the process as well as we can to, you know, to respond to it and react to it in a way that doesn't become disruptive.
There is a case, October the 22nd, that we have to be looking at very closely with regard to the case for Donna and Jackson. Is there going to be more of an intervention on the Department of Justice's part, be it yay or nay, whichever way this case goes, or is it only if there is a not guilty verdict?
It would come in at a not guilty verdict, likely, but that portion, you know, or that aspect is handled by, you know, the Civil Rights Division.
Mm-hmm.
And the process is that they wait until the state process is concluded, you know, and then they'll make a determination whether, you know, they're going to look into it. I know that they're monitoring it closely, but, you know, they don't make that determination until after the state trial is concluded.
I would like to bring in Mr. James DeMott, who is a civil rights attorney and a community activist for over 20 years here in Inglewood. And I would like to ask him a question. Whatever the outcome is, can we as Inglewood citizenry file a suit against the police union, who have in so many ways protected a lot of the criminal element in our police department? Would it be a conflict of interest? Mr. DeMott, could you please answer?
Sure. Well, several things. First of all, could some of the citizens in Inglewood file a suit? Could groups in Inglewood file a suit? Yes, absolutely they could. In fact, my perspective is we should be depending on ourselves. Government is interesting. Government is useful. But what I want to do, the old 60s slogan, power to the people. I don't think it said power to the government, power to the whatever. We could file suit. We could take political action. I have some difference with your characterization that it's the police union. I think the union may have part of it, but I wouldn't vilify them. I think we have a city council that is taking no action. I think we have a police department that is taking no action. My own solution would be, one, to take political action, two, to file lawsuits, three, to start an elected civilian review board so that we have direct control over our police department. I would do all of those things. I would also do demonstrations. I'm somewhat offended by the constant talk about peace. Yes, I want peace, but I've lived here in Inglewood since 1976. I have no political demonstrations that have ever been violent. And I think that's a stereotype that we would cause any trouble whatsoever. I would like to cause some trouble, not violent trouble. I would like some political trouble. I think the problems are systemic. I don't think they are involved just with Jeremy Morris. And I don't think they're just this recent incident. I think we need to do some systemic reforms in Inglewood, and I think we need to do them as rapidly as possible. We have to look behind the surface appearances. I think we should get over to our city council. We should do an elected police civilian review board so we control our police. And I think we should be looking into who runs this city. We have to realize power to the people. We have to do it. No one's mm-hmm. going to do it for us. Specific suggestions on elected civilian review board. And I don't mean a little sham thing that they put up with no power. I mean we elect
people handpicked by the mayor.
Exactly, with the police mm-hmm. chief on it. I mean mm-hmm. we elect them. There's no police on it. They have the power to hire and fire the police chief, hire and fire all officers within the law. Mm-hmm. We set police policy. And to my knowledge, there's not one of those boards in the United States. We'd have to do it by referendum. Number two, I think we should start a recall effort. Governor Davis is the height of great government compared to the government of the city of Inglewood. Mm-hmm. We should demand that our elected officials be responsible to the people of Inglewood. We should demand development, good education, quality police,
yes.
And we should start running our town within Inglewood rather than outside. A specific example back to the police are there's a great number of police who don't live in Inglewood. I don't care what race they are. Let them move to Inglewood. There could be points for that. There's some legal issues there involved. What we're really saying is, well, there's no justice, but we want peace anyway. I think no justice, no peace is correct. Now, by no peace, I don't mean violence. I don't mean hitting. What I mean is political activity. And I think there's an enormous amount of the establishment that disagrees with that. The Inglewood establishment have decided we don't have any problem with police abuse. We have no problems with education. We have no problems with jobs. We have no problems with our police not enforcing the laws. What our problems are our citizens are inherently violently and prone. And I just don't believe that's true. There was tremendous grants come down. There was tremendous amounts of money involved in coming out with no justice but peace anyway. And that's what our police are for. And I believe that's just incorrect. We should demand justice. We'll get our own peace. And yes, we should stop violence and gang violence and all that. But we don't need gang injunctions to do it. We need education. We need jobs. We need enforcement of the laws that we have. And we need community control over our police, not outside control. I would say end the occupation in Iraq, but end the occupation in Inglewood also, end the occupation in South Central. I also wanted to say something, if I could, about the irony of having this trial start on October 22nd, because traditionally for the last few years, October 22nd has been the day of the large statewide, nationwide demonstrations against police abuse. And I think we should take advantage of that. We should have huge demonstrations on October 22nd, okay? I think a good place to have it is at the courthouse where the Donovan Jackson case is to begin. And frankly, I think, and this will be very controversial on the issue of no justice, no peace, I think we should either start it or march to LAX. And I don't mean to do anything violent. It is legal to march in LAX. It is legal to demonstrate in LAX. And my slogan would be, no justice, no airplane flights. And I don't mean stopping them by violence. But if we have 50,000 people walking around LAX, I think they may not fly. And it's legal, it's safe, and it can be done. And traditionally, demonstrations have not been just for the purpose of getting media attention. So I would suggest that our demonstration efforts should be at LAX peacefully, very, very peacefully, until a lot more of the resources are put into the black and Latino and poor communities of all races. That would be my perspective on this. And I think we should stop all this talk about keeping the peace when there has been no disturbance of the police except by the state force, by the police force themselves. And I'm not against all police. They're merely working people. I'm against the system, the way it's run. The police in Inglewood and South Central do not serve the police, the people of South Central and Inglewood. We need our police force to serve us. We need our police force to enforce the laws. And we need all this huge amounts of attention and money to be put into jobs, education, and that's real right. Civil rights.
In the occupation in Iraq and in the occupation in Inglewood.
That's right.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mr. DeMott.
So come on down to the prayer vigil. 7 to 8 every night at the Inglewood courtyard in back of the Inglewood Police Department, right off of La Brea and Regent. September 6th will be the last day, so please try to come on out and be a part of this historical event. And I want to close the way I always close, with my hand on my heart straight to my God, reminding all you prayer warriors out there, keep on fasting, keep on praying, because we know that the struggle continues, but always to God be the glory. Thank you very much.
This program was produced by the LA Sound Posse. The roundtable discussion was produced by Lynette Hill. Special thanks to Coley's Restaurant in Inglewood for hosting the discussion. This program is available for download at www.radioforall.net.